All right, well, we're going to continue your study on Bible characters, and I hope you have enjoyed it so far. I know you took a look at Barnabas, and you took a look at Daniel, and you took a look at the Apostle John. And even though I've been in the other Bible classes, I've watched those online, watched those guys who've done an awesome job with their Bible study. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Joseph. And here's two objectives. What I would like to do is recount the main events in the life of Joseph. And there's outstanding stories that we're going to look at. And the main text that we're going to have is Genesis chapter 37. So if you'd like to go there, Genesis chapter 37. However, we are going to look at a lot of different other Bible passages this morning. The other objective is to appreciate Joseph's faith as God was working in the midst of his troubles. So when you take a look at Bible characters, they're not void of any troubles, are they? You know, it's easy for humans to look and say, I have so many problems, I have so many troubles. How can I go on? How can I go on? And then when you look at a Bible character like Joseph and the things that happened to him and how things turned out for him, it's amazing and teaches us. All right, here's endurance. So when we're taking a look at Joseph this morning, our main topic is actually going to be endurance. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Or there's an adjective denoting, relating to a race or other sporting event that takes place over a long distance. So when we're looking at Bible verses today, and when we look, the main focus, the main objective there is endurance. We're going to look at what is endurance? What was it about Joseph that he showed so much endurance? And what does that have to do with me and you? All right, so let's take a look at some of the feats that humans have. All right, so there's this girl. She crushed 3 vertebrae in a particular accident in Africa. Became the youngest person to climb Mount Everest. And he was quoted, "When times are tough, you really have to dig deep." So he was doing some kind of mountain climbing, backpacking in Africa, fell, crushed 3 vertebrae, ended up later being the youngest person to climb Mount Everest. This young lady, 17-year-old, went through a plane crash, survived for 10 days in the jungle with a broken collarbone and maggot-infested wounds. She endured. Imagine that. Mark Allen, told to be the greatest endurance athlete, 6-time winner of the from the Ironman World Championship, won 20 straight triathlons. 20 straight. Holds the fastest marathon split ever for Ironman competition at 2 hours, 40 minutes, 4 seconds. Ironman competition. Russian cosmonaut Valery logged 437 continuous days in space in Russia's main, in the Mir space station. 437 consecutive days in outer space. That's way over a year, isn't it? And he has the record. All right, this guy, first place, 15 out of 18 marathons. And by the way, the ones that he did not get first place in, he got second place in 18 marathons. He ran 1 hour, 59 minutes. He became the first person to ever go under 2 hours in a marathon race. Marathon running. Endurance. You know, I feel really good from going to the parking lot into the building. I'm like, wow, that was good. I got to the building. We find endurance in animals, in nature. The Arctic tern migrates over 27,000 miles a year. The ostrich. The ostrich, if it ran a marathon with those guys, could do it in 45 minutes. Wolves can hunt for 30 miles a day. I remember when I was young, I used to go pheasant hunting with my dad in the snow. And this is not a, you know, walk 10 miles to school in the snow story. It really was deep snow. I remember how hard that was and how tiring it was at the end of the day just to hunt for maybe for a couple of hours. Wolves hunt for 30 miles a day. It speeds up to 35 miles per hour. Gray whales migrate 14,000 miles a year. And the white shark can travel 6,900 miles in 99 days. Other acts of endurance. Someone, somewhere, went 70 years without food or water. 441 minutes without blinking. 622 minutes underwater without air apparatus. 8,264 hours without sleep. I need my sleep. That's just incredible. The Bible talks about perseverance and endurance. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What's the first part say? Lay aside every weight. Can you imagine some of those marathon runners saying, "You know what, this isn't tough enough. Let me strap on 80 pounds of weight. That's what I'm going to do. I'll just put on 80 pounds of weight. Then I'm going to run and see what happens." That's what sin can do to us, though. Strap on sin and try to run this Christian race. You're not going to be able to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, and they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So Paul's saying part of life is endurance. If you're a farmer, there's certain things you have to do, certain things you have to endure before those crops come. If you're a soldier, there's certain preparations that you have to make before you go to battle. You just have to, or you will not be successful. Same thing with our Christian life. There's certain things that we're going to go through that's going to help, hopefully make us better people and make us successful. 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I have fought the good fight. Every morning I text my children. And some of them are far away. Nobody stayed at home, right? I text my children on Sunday morning. I give them a scripture. This morning's scripture is this. Fight the good fight. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but for me, an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become disqualified. Paul is saying that there's a crown for all of us that are faithful, found faithful in the end. It's a crown of righteousness. It reminds me of Novell. It reminds me that I see him. I see him in heaven with a huge crown on his head, so big that he can hardly wear it. All right, let's take a look at our man Joseph. He was born in Mesopotamia. All right, in Haran. Parents were Jacob and Rachel. All right, Rachel's firstborn. It's very possible at 6 years old the family moved to the land of Canaan. And then if you look in Genesis chapter 37, where he's introduced to us as a 17-year-old. So it's important to remember his young age when things are happening. And here's the Mesopotamian. If you were awake during social studies class, you probably would recognize this as the Fertile Crescent, right? So your social studies teacher, your history teacher went over the Fertile Crescent. I think it was like every year that I can remember in social studies class, it was the Fertile Crescent. I don't know why, they call it the Cradle of Civilization, extremely important, and I learned it over and over and over again. All right, historical proof. It's a lot of it's not there for Joseph. Apologetics, professors, researchers, scientists have come to a conclusion that if you're going to look for apologetics to back up the existence of Joseph, it's rare. But there is proof about the legacy that Joseph brought. So, from the second millennium, people from Canaan infiltrated the northeastern regions of Egypt. Canaanites had been living in the region, had expanded and taken over much of the eastern Nile Delta. Does that remind you of a story that perhaps we find in Exodus chapter 1? Right? So, the Hebrew people came down and into Egypt. And they multiplied. They multiplied so much they created fear with the Egyptians. There's historical evidence that backs that up. Yes, there were people that migrated from Canaan to Egypt. In ancient Thebes, the tomb of an Egyptian ruler has paintings of slaves painted on the characteristics of previous tombs of the Semitic people. One scene shows a man making bricks and overseeing them is a tall Egyptian. So archaeologists are digging and then they find evidence that, yes, there is evidence that there were people from the land of Canaan, came down, made bricks, right, for they were slaves, made bricks for the Egyptians. A canal was built from the Nile River to Lake Haran, built between 1850 BC. In Arabic, the name of the canal is Bahr Yusuf. In English, it translates to the waterway of Joseph. So there is this. Now, it's not empirical evidence that can't be refuted at all. It's just that this waterway was named after Joseph. Now, why a waterway? They wanted a waterway from the river to this lake during droughts, which came, right? During droughts, this waterway becomes extremely beneficial for the people in Egypt. This waterway is still there. It's still functional. All right, Genesis chapter 37. All right, Joseph lived with his brothers and came from two different mothers. Let's take a look in the first verses of chapter 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bela and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because his sons, he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. All right, so time out right there. If you're a parent of multiple children, don't have a favorite. Day by day, sometimes it's hard, but don't have a favorite. And also reminds me, we do have a seminar coming for parents September the 16th. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So don't have a favorite. Jacob favored Joseph. All right, let's go on. Verse 4, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So I don't have favorites? This is why, all right? They became exceedingly jealous. All right. Not only that, what does Joseph do? Joseph has dreams. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. At this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Joseph shares his dreams. He could have kept it a secret, right? Maybe, but he didn't. He tells his brothers, these are my dreams. All right. Then Joseph's brothers were working. So where was Joseph? Then his brothers went to feed the flocks, in verse 12, father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here am I. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back to word. So he went to him in the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. Now, so it does not say Joseph is working. It says that his brothers were working. So I have an older brother and an older sister. And I can tell you, there's probably times when I wasn't working. And they were. And it probably caused a little dissension. And so here in this biblical story, there's a lot of dissension that's being created. Verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even though he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, 'Some wild beast has devoured him.' We shall see that what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to him, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might be delivered out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, and they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. The brothers carried out their plan. All right, so things are not looking good. Now, my older brother never threw me in a pit, right? But my older brother built models, and I was little, and I'd want to be with him, and he just wouldn't have anything to do with me. I was allergic to the glue that was used building models, and I would get hives. And so my brother, in all his wisdom, said, "Come on over, use this glue." And so I did. So I don't know. Brothers do things to brothers, I guess, right? Brothers do things to brothers. But throwing somebody in the pit. All right. Endurance takeaways. So far, what did Joseph endure? Jealousy. Hardship. Endured disgrace. Endured a separation and loneliness. But he never blamed God. He never looked up to God and said, "Why me? Woe is me." All right. Now, look in chapter 39. Starting in verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian. All right, so I'm amazed that somebody that's from a foreign country is put in command of things. The same thing happened to Daniel, right? Daniel was a foreigner in Babylon. He was made a governor. Joseph was a foreigner, and he was made a high-ranking officer in Egypt as part of God's plan. Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. So he understood something about God. He must have understood something about God and said, "The Lord is with this man." And so Joseph was made an overseer, and the house was blessed. So Joseph is put in a position of overseeing. He went from a slave to being an overseer in the Egyptian government. Genesis 39. Starting in verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what was with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" All right, so Potiphar's wife comes and desires Joseph. Joseph looks like, as far as the text goes, it looks like Joseph immediately refutes the sexual advances of a woman. And then he says, listen to this, he says in verse 9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He doesn't say, "How can I sin against my master?" He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "How can I sin against my father, Jacob? How can I sin against my mother, Rachel?" He points to the right place, doesn't he? He says, "How can I sin against God?" He identifies what sin is as a separation from God. He identifies that the one that he owes his life to is God. And not only that, he proclaims it openly to the woman who's trying to make sexual advances to him. She came back, it says, over and over again. So now we find endurance. We find Joseph showing endurance once again, because it just didn't happen once. It happened over and over again. What was there in Joseph's life that gave him that kind of background that he could do something like that and refute? It reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching online or if you're here and you have children, if you don't teach the Bible at home, if you don't bring your kids to Bible class, you're going to raise spiritually empty people. Don't expect them to grow up and know what to do like Joseph did. Make sure that they're in the right place at the right time. Do things at home to encourage their faith. To encourage their faith. Joseph is accused. More endurance? Yes. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men in the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran away outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled, went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him, saying words like these, saying, "Thus the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came to me and mocked me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Then look in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy. Dark days. Did God run away from that scene? Not at all. The Bible says that God was with Joseph. Did Joseph do what was right? Yes. There's somebody in this auditorium that says over and over again that it's right to do right and it's wrong to do wrong. Somehow, Joseph grabbed on to these spiritual realities, these spiritual truths, enacted on them. And God blessed him because of that. because Joseph was able to refute sexual advances as a young man. He had that background, that spiritual background within him to do that. Joseph was able to stay away from sexual immorality. Joseph said that he couldn't sin against God. Joseph knew that all sin is against God. Joseph demonstrates what the fear of the Lord is all about. The fear of the Lord brings about wisdom. Joseph had wisdom, because Joseph had the right kind of fear for a loving and awesome God, and he acted on it. Chapter 40. Tells us the story of dreams being correctly interpreted by Joseph, and Joseph's making a plea to be remembered. Right, so the takeaway, Joseph's faith caused him not to stumble or be turned away from God. Joseph once again rises in the Egyptian government. Chapter 41, Pharaoh has dreams. Joseph interprets those dreams, that there's going to be famine coming. We already talked about the canal in the beginning of the lesson. Look at what Joseph said in verse 17. After Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph interpreted the dream. Joseph did not take credit. He said, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So there's Joseph again, teaching about God to someone, the Pharaoh, and saying, "It's not in me. It's because of God." Joseph tells Pharaoh the meaning of the dream. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And God gave Pharaoh a plan. Pharaoh appoints Joseph to a high position. So once again, here's someone who would be considered a foreigner in a land, rises in that government. He's put in charge of everything in Egypt. Has to do with getting ready for the famine to protect the Egyptian people. And he does it. And he does it correctly. Then, what happens? His brothers come. Joseph is confronted with his brother's presence. He had a very, very important decision to make. Joseph was probably in the position where he could have said, "These foreigners here did me bad. I want the soldiers to chop off their head." He probably would have done it. But he wasn't like that. What was it within Joseph that he decided to have so much endurance in his faith that when his brothers came, he did not show that anger that maybe some people would have after his brothers would have done something so mean in his early life? Joseph decided to forgive his brothers. And we're going to talk about forgiveness, more about forgiveness in a little bit. Genesis 50:20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." What do we call "in order to bring about"? What would you call that? Providence. God's providence has been shown in Joseph's life from the get-go. You and I should believe that there's providence enacting in our life. That God just did not give providence to one person, but God gives providence, shows providence to us as Christians, as his children, in order to bring it about. All right, let's take a look at forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6. Usually I don't think the bell is evil, but this morning, for some reason, the bell is evil. All right, so verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive them. But if you do not forgive men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. All right? So, listen. If you want to be forgiven by God, what do you have to do? You have to be able to forgive others. Joseph showed forgiveness. We as Christians are taught by Jesus Christ himself to forgive others. And there's a stipulation there. If we want God to forgive us, we have to first forgive others of their trespasses. Christ forgave us, so we forgive others. Luke chapter 6 says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Peter's question in Matthew chapter 18 about forgiveness, and Jesus answers that question and says 7 times 70 you forgive somebody. And then talks about the parable about the unforgiving servant and what happened to that unforgiving servant. So once again, Jesus teaches us about forgiveness. Let's talk a little bit more about endurance. Endurance and faithfulness. What do I mean? Whatever it takes. Be faithful. Don't let go of your faith. Sometimes there's going to be hardship. Sometimes it feels like the race cannot be won. It can. Forgiveness and evangelism, or endurance and evangelism. Don't give up. Keep going. There's people out there that will be responsive to the gospel, right? Endurance and good works. Keep it up. Don't give up. Whether you're an elder, a deacon, whether you're a person sitting in the audience this morning, you're involved with good works. Keep at it. Endurance and patience. Be patient with one another. Patient with your children. Not easy sometimes. But have that kind of endurance. We run the race. We fight the good fight. And then we win. That's what endurance is all about in the story of Joseph. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Take out your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, don't take it out. All right, so if you have a dumb phone, don't use it. But if you have a smartphone, take out your smartphone. Go to your app store. Put in Apologetic Press, the Apologetic Press app that you see on the screen. You're going to be so spiritually benefited by what the guys up there have put together using the Apologetic website. It's a lot like the Apologetic website, but it's an app on your smartphone. There's articles, videos, a lot that you find on their website, you find inside this app. It's an amazing device to use in Bible study. It's an amazing device to use when you're studying with someone that might believe in evolution. You can use this to refute evolution easily, right? Because that's what AP is all about. So go to your smartphone and download this app. All right, that's all I have. Thank you very much.